Oh, yes.
In darkness, no peace.
And no PowerPoint. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
No PowerPoint.
How can we do this?
But God in his providence and his grace brought the power back on, and so we have heat and lights and the screen, which we need. How many of you, by the show of hands, have witnessed a baptism here in this church? A lot of you, okay. In our gospel reading today, we're introduced to John the Baptist. And you know, in baptisms, as we know them, what you normally see in infant baptism, you see the baby dressed in a beautiful white gown, most of the time historic to the family in some way. You see parents, godparents, usually dressed in their best clothes to receive the sacrament, because baptism is the sacrament. It's the first sacrament of the church. And you hear the preacher give a sermon about baptism and say, oh, you know, this beautiful baby's going to become, you know, a child of God, and we welcome the baby into the church family. But if our gospel reading today had been extended a couple verses, it tells us the story of when people came out to John the Baptist to be baptized. John the Baptist's message was, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance." So, style's a little different, but it's the same, really, because God is continually calling us to repentance. And I had this this word a couple weeks ago that I believe the Lord gave me, and I started to share it in the service a couple weeks ago, and the Lord said, I felt like the Lord was telling me no, to hang on to it, so I want to give it today. And so I want to talk about John the Baptist, and I want to link him to and bring out some similarities with him and the prophet Samuel. So I hope I'm able to do that clearly. The word that I had that I believe the Lord gave me was, you know, hopefully was this. Hopefully by now, over the years, we've all begun to, at least begun to have an understanding that we are children of God, that we are citizens of the kingdom, that we are in Christ, as the bishop has said and Father Mark has said and we've all heard, and that Christ is in us. But in that realization and beyond that realization is the idea of going further, of obedience and doing what the king wants us to do. Because it's one thing to be a citizen of the kingdom. It's one thing to be a child of God. But as a citizen or a child, you always want to do what the king wants you to do. You always want to do what your father wants you to do. And so the word of God, we see in the gospel, the word of God came to John the Baptist. And if we look back at Samuel's life in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the word of God came to Samuel. And as I thought about that and prayed about it, the question came to my mind for me, as well as I believe for others, what do we do when the Word of God comes to us? How do we respond when God calls us? You know, everybody has a cell phone. You know, and cell phones are great. They help to keep us in communication with other people. But they also sometimes hamper communication. So what if God communicated to us through a cell phone? So the phone rings. First of all, we look at the caller ID, right? We see who's calling us. Are we going to recognize God's number? Hopefully we all recognize God's number. Some of us may not. So what do? We're out with friends. We're at dinner. We're doing whatever. Do we hit that ignore button and turn the phone back upside down, put it on the table? Or do we say, well, I'll just let it go to voicemail and deal with it later? And I want us to think, and I'm preaching to me because I have these problems. I don't always listen to the Lord like I should. You know, because the Lord calls at inopportune times, doesn't he? He's not always convenient. Well, he's convenient for himself, for his will, but it's not always convenient for us, or we don't believe it is. That's where we're wrong. But so how do we respond when the Lord calls? That's what I want us to be thinking about today. Now, John the Baptist and Samuel have a number of things in common. John the Baptist, we know that he was the one that baptized Jesus, right? That was the second time that he met Jesus. Does everybody remember what the first time was that John the Baptist met Jesus? It was the visitation, right? When John the Baptist was in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, and Jesus, the Christ child, was in the womb of his mother Mary, and Mary went to see her cousin Elizabeth, and when the two got close, John the Baptist recognized supernaturally that Jesus, his Savior, the one who created him, was near. And what did he do? He jumped for joy inside the womb of his mother Elizabeth. And Elizabeth had been barren for a long time. She prayed and prayed and prayed to the Lord for a child. Samuel's mother, Hannah, had been barren for a long time. Her husband, Elkanah, had another wife besides Hannah, Peninnah. I guess that's how you pronounce it. Peninnah had children, Hannah didn't. And Peninnah ridiculed Hannah for being barren. And every time Hannah would go to the temple to pray, Peninnah and others would ridicule her for being barren. And so she prayed. And I encourage you to read the story of Samuel, 1 Samuel, just read the whole book. Because Hannah, she sat down in the temple and began to pray to herself. pray to the Lord quietly, not making any sound but moving her lips. And the priest Eli thought she was drunk. He said, "Why do you sit here embarrassing yourself being drunk in the temple? Go to your house and pray." And she said, "But I'm not drunk. I'm praying. I'm conversing with the Lord, pleading my heart out for a child." And the Lord answered her prayer. So I encourage you, if you know anybody, any woman that's struggling to conceive, encourage her to read the story of Hannah and Samuel and the story of Elizabeth. I think it'll really help her. So Hannah bore Samuel, and Elizabeth bore John the Baptist, and both were given to the Lord from their birth. It's very important to have a godly mother that prays for her children, that offers her children to the Lord. And some of us don't have godly mothers, but the Lord can step into that, and He can be that source of love and hope and encouragement for you. So they were both given to the Lord from birth, and they were called what's called a Nazirite, N-A-Z-I-R-I-T-E, Nazirite. And that just means set apart for the Lord. And John, the Baptist, was at least loosely associated with this Christian sect called the Essenes. And they were a group of people that set themselves apart from the rest of the Christian community and carried out certain rules that they came up with for themselves that they thought would bring them closer to God. So when it talks about John, and when you look at icons, you normally, and you see an icon of John the Baptist, he's normally in a what's called a hair shirt or a camel shirt. And that was part of John's penance and mortification. But whenever you see a man dressed in like a hair shirt, that's John the Baptist. but he ate, and you read in the Bible about John eating locust and wild honey. And that's part of what the Essenes did. So John separated himself with the Essenes. Samuel was given to the Lord by Hannah, and he lived in the temple with Eli, the priest. And so the word of God came to John the Baptist, and he set out preaching a message of baptism of repentance. And the word of the Lord came to Samuel. And Samuel was given a word from the Lord to give to Eli. Now Samuel didn't want to give the word of the Lord to Eli because it was a harsh word. But he was obedient to the Lord, and he gave the word of the Lord to Eli. And now Eli, he was a priest in the temple. He had two sons. Eli was a good priest, but he had two sons, Phinehas and Hophnias. And they were not very good boys. They caroused with women that were not their wives. And they took the best portions of the offerings from the people that brought their offerings to the temple to offer to the Lord. These two guys, they took what was best. They cherry-picked from the offerings for themselves, for their own greed and self-aggrandizement. And so Samuel, part of Samuel's calling was to call for purification of the priesthood. Because Eli knew what his sons were doing, but he didn't do anything to stop them. That was Eli's downfall. He knew what was happening, but he didn't do anything to stop them. So Samuel brings the word to Eli, says, "The Lord says, nobody in your family will see old age." And he says, "I will never lift my, basically lift my forgiveness, so to speak, from your family." And so, and he also said that your two sons, Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, your two sons will die on the same day, and they will die at a young age. And they did. They died in battle. So John preached the baptism of repentance, which was the word of the Lord that God gave to him. And Samuel, as I said, worked for the purification and the renewal of holiness of the priesthood, and he led the people toward a renewed holiness. Now, during that time, the Israelites were surrounded by many different armies, and they were constantly being attacked, so much that the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines. And the Philistines captured the ark, and the Lord caused a number of different maladies to come upon the Philistines. The Philistines got nervous, so they handed the ark off to another group of people. Same thing happened to them. They handed the ark off to another group of people. So eventually, the ark was captured back and brought back to Israel. But if it weren't for Samuel, see, Samuel has a great role to play in the coming of our Savior Jesus, because it was through Samuel that Saul was chosen and anointed king. And when Saul fell, it was through Samuel that David was then chosen and anointed king. And Samuel, he told the people were up in arms. They said, "We want a king who will go fight our battles for us. We're tired of doing all this ourselves. We want to be ruled. We want somebody to rule over us. We want a king." And Samuel said, "You have a king. You have the Lord." But they said, "We want a physical king." And Samuel said, "Well, if you are faithful to the commandments of the Lord will give you a king. And it will be a holy king. The king will rule with grace and mercy and love, as long as you are faithful to the commandments of the Lord." But did they stay faithful? No. And so the king fell. So what do we do when we hear God's calling to us? First of all, can we hear the Lord call us? Are we too busy? Do we have too many things coming into our ears and into our hearts that we can't hear the clear voice of the Lord? I know when I was younger, always thought that it would, I said, can't you just, Lord, just give me like the writing on the wall, the hand writing on the wall, like Daniel 5. But the Lord doesn't work that way always. Are we able to block out outside influences and outside distractions to set aside a time to hear from the Lord? Doesn't have to be long, just 5 minutes. Maybe one thing could be driving in your car instead of listening to the radio, just turn the radio off and start praying, asking the Lord to speak to you. Deacon Dan had that occasion a few weeks ago when he said he was coming to church and the Lord spoke to him and he started praying in tongues and downloading what the Lord had for him that day. Why today is it so important to be ready to hear the message from the Lord? Why is it important today to be ready to hear the message from God? We can look at Psalms, the reading from the Psalms today, Psalm 12, verses 1 through 4, and then verse 8. And these verses, they could be like the tweet of the day, representative of what's going on in society right now. It could be, you could put it up on Facebook as this is what's going on. Psalm 12. Save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone, for the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips. The tongue makes great boasts. Those who say, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are with us. Who is master over us? Isn't that the way it is with a lot of society today? With our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are with us. Who is master over us? That's how it is with some of the church too. God forbid that happens to us. We need to always be on guard against it. In verse 8, on every side the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among the children of men. As vileness is exalted among the children of man. We're in a time where evil is called good, and good is called evil. And who is going to stand up to set that record straight if we're not able to hear from the Lord? Verse 5 of Psalm 12. Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. The Lord is desiring to come to us during this Advent season. He says, oh, how I wish to be with you. I desire to be with you. Many times more than we desire to be with him. And it says he will refine us with a refiner's fire. And like Robert read, with a fuller's soap. So we need that purification. We need that cleansing. The cleansing of our hearts and the cleansing of our minds to give the Lord a place to live and to speak to us. So I would encourage you this week just to think about different ways that you can allow the Lord to speak His word to you, because you don't want to miss it. Samuel, he heard the Lord speak three different times in his youth. The first two times, he didn't know it was the Lord. He said, he heard the voice, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am." He thought it was Eli. So he went to Eli. He said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "I didn't call you." So go back and lie down. So Samuel goes back and lies down. He hears the voice again, "Samuel, Samuel." Just think of the Lord calling your name. Linda, Tim, Tammy. Just think of the Lord calling your name. And we don't get it right all the time. Samuel didn't get it right. He didn't know who was calling him. He hears the voice the third time, "Samuel, Samuel." He goes to Eli. He said, "I'm here." This time Eli realized, this must be the Lord talking to this boy Samuel. He said, "Go back and lie down, and if you hear the voice again, tell it, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back and lied down, and he heard the voice, "Samuel, Samuel." And this time he rose up, he said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And the word of the Lord came to him. He realized that it was the Lord talking, and the Lord gave him the word. So my prayer is that we say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me. Tell me what you want your servant to hear." We need to endeavor during this very busy time of Advent to situate our hearts and our minds in that notion of, "Here I am, Lord. Whatever you want, send me." And it's not, you know, we're not going to get it right all the time. Nobody got it right all the time. But we keep going back to the Lord and keep trying. Philippians chapter 1, verses 6 and then 9 through 11. Gives us the encouragement that we need to continue our efforts to hear from the Lord, to purify our hearts and minds, to get ourselves in the right position to hear from God. It says, "And I am sure of this," Paul says, "that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.